This is Sunday morning, 8, 9, 9. I thought it was 8, 9, 90. I'm going to teach this morning on divine order a little bit. It's leadership, God's divine order. There's some things I've been seeing that I don't like, and I was asking the Lord about it, and He, because, you know, you hear things, and then you have to step back, and you have to say, okay, Lord, what are you saying about this? You know, this bothers me. What's going on here? So that's what we're going to hit on this morning. I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 first. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. In whatever you believe, you owe it to yourself to make sure it's what you believe and not what somebody's told you. You understand? Mm-hmm. That's just maturity. That's learning to mature and know that there's a reason why you believe the way you believe. If somebody questions you, then you can say, well, I do it because based on this scripture. You know, you can't just do something because you feel. Okay, this is Ephesians 4, verse 7, so we're going to start. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did y'all get that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So the fivefold ministry gifts, they teach the word. They're all supposed to be apt to teach. They teach the word. They teach you how to go out and do the work. Not sit around and have a country club experience, but to go out. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That means the whole body of Christ doing this forms a perfect man. Amber and I were talking about it last night. God has ordained every person to do a certain work, and we in the church have copied. Well, let's do the purpose-driven life, so everybody and their dog did the purpose-driven life. It's like these fads go through the church instead of everyone getting in their little niche that God put them in and staying there and doing their work and doing their part, like in a physical body. Paul likens us to we're parts of a physical body, like the hand's not going to tell the eye what to do. And that's been the thing. We think if we're not like them, we're not like everybody else, then we're not right. Because they say so. No, God has called each one of us to do distinct things, and when we don't do it. One time years ago when Joe and Helen were here, it was on a Wednesday night, and there was some prophecy going forth, and the Lord showed me a huge puzzle, but it had missing pieces. Have you ever done a puzzle and you got to the end and there was a piece missing? It made me so mad, especially if he was going to do it for a gift. It just ruined the whole picture. So this is what the minister gifts are supposed to do. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or perfecting. Perfecting means complete or furnishing. The work means to toil as an effort or an occupation, by implication an act. Edifying means an architecture or a furnisher. In other words, building you up. Not casting you down, but building you up to do the work. Okay, here's a summary. I think you could sum this up in saying that the fivefold ministry gifts mature the believer, get them placed by divine design, and then build up a spiritual house. The Lord's body is to be occupying the occupying force in the earth. You see why we're where we're at today? The church has not done that. They fell asleep. You cannot do it without divine leadership. It will not happen. I've been hearing there's some big groups springing up that are advocating teaching people how to do home groups, but they're saying nobody needs to be the leader. Everybody needs to have a say. Everybody needs to read the scriptures. Everybody needs to do everything when they meet together. And of course, if you've been under where you are just listening every week, you know, you're thinking, I'm getting free. But as we'll see, the Lord gave me the analogy of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They didn't want to be in their bondage, but they wouldn't receive Moses' leadership. So they went from one side to the other. And that's what happens when there's a new, we're ushering in the kingdom age, the end of the church age. That doesn't mean that the Bible's no longer part of it. It doesn't mean that. Even Jesus, it says, during that time, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Why is he going to rule from a rod of iron? Because his leaders are ruling with a rod of iron, the rod of his word. Is he going to be here? I don't know. It talks about the holy mountain. I'm not so sure. But anyway, we need to realize that that's not passing away. God's word's not passing away. It says his word won't ever pass away. His word never returns void. It doesn't pass away. So this is not some new thing. During the charismatic movement, you talk about the flighty. There was some mighty, but I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of flighty come out of that. So you have to watch it because of these winds of doctrines. The devil will come in when something is pure of God and is starting. The devil will come in and try to sidetrack and waylay and add to and get, you know, rogue things. Korah's rebellion is a prime example of a rogue. Well, we've got the Holy Spirit just like you. We got the same concordance at home as you do. That's what Korah said, not those words, but you know what I'm saying. I've already tasted a little bit of that. We can do our own study. We got our own dictionary. Really? God's ordained the fivefold ministry gifts. To bring the word to the saints, to mature them, build them up, to do the work of the ministry. To me, it's more like it wasn't meant to be a country club, it was meant to be a filling station. Come in, get filled up, get matured, and go out. Okay, let's keep going here. Without divine leadership, this will not happen. This message is a warning to not listen to those who discredit this. I've heard it. I've heard them say it out of their mouth. Well, you know, those preachers are all Masonic anyway, all of them, which one particular person I've heard say that, they're Baptist. And you know, and they are disillusioned. They were not treated right, and they were abused, so now they're gone off rogue. And they're saying, well, you know, no, we want to meet together. We don't want nobody to get, nobody's ahead. Nobody can do anything. Nobody. So I'm thinking, well, that's another bondage in itself, putting pressure on people that aren't ready, because if they don't get this perfecting, maturing down, how are they going to ever flow and work in their gifts? You know, it's kind of getting the cart before the horse. Like, it's all the leaders' faults that they've kept the power of God from flowing. Well, it isn't just the leaders' fault. Nobody told you to sit there like a stump. We never fit in that. We couldn't just sit there like a stump. But it's because we knew we had something different God wanted us to do. So we know the truth now. At the time, we just thought, what is wrong with us? Amber was saying last night, I've always been a square peg in a round hole. And I said, this is a square peg round hole church. How about that? We didn't fit in the norm. But that does not mean that we don't go by the Bible. We don't do it the Bible way. Okay, it's a message not to listen to those who discredit this. Satan comes against this heavily. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A unified body of Christ cannot be stopped. Can't stop us. When you get us unified and you get us moving in all the same direction, unstoppable. And that's what scares the devil, because he knows. Okay, Romans 12. Now, Amber, you know that I haven't talked to you about what I'm bringing today. I've had all of this the first part of the week before we ever talked last night. We were talking about Romans 12 last night. It says, I beseech you, verse 1, you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So a sacrifice was something that they killed and put on the altar. So you're dead. And now your life is here with Christ and God. You're no longer your own. Now you're saying, okay, Lord, my life is now what you use it to be. Not what I desire, but what you desire. A living sacrifice, it says. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not unreasonable, but reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the renewing of the mind process, you have to stick with it, because to me it's a lifelong process. You're going to always be coming up higher, being conformed into the image of His Son. That's the goal. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So whatever God calls you to do, He says, don't think that it's you doing it, because I've given you grace to accomplish it. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So, I can say in my own life, the first thing the Lord ever told me was I was a teacher, because I had told somebody I was asked to teach in a Christian school. And I said, I can't teach. I'm not a teacher. And the Holy Spirit spoke up inside of me. It was so loud I jumped. Don't ever say that again. Because I was cutting off my nose to spite my face. Just because I haven't had wisdom of that yet, I thought, well, I'm not that. I've heard people say that. Well, I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing. Well, it's because they've not renewed their mind to reveal. What does that do? It takes the veil off the eyes to reveal to you the truth of your destiny, what God's made you to be. So, the next thing that the Lord spoke to me was pastor. See, it's a progression. It's a step at a time. It's just like any walk. How do you get to your destination? You start somewhere, your very first step. Sweetie. It's all right. All right, this is what the fivefold ministry gifts do. Madison, we're in Romans 12. You want to look? What is it doing? Renewing the mind to know God's will, the person recognizing the will of God, and then receiving the grace to act on God's will. This is why the Lord uses Gideon operations to get great things accomplished. A few in unity can accomplish great things. 1,000, 2,000, 10,000. With any move of God, there will be rogue groups that rise up to discredit it. Me, this is me. For a while now, I've been hearing some say that they have groups and there's no leadership. Everyone just does their own thing and no one is in charge. Well, I think this is not good. Okay, let's look over to John chapter 10 real quick. You know, we're all in different stages of renewing our mind and things. And sometimes people are really good in one area and you can really glean from them. And then they'll say something out of their mouth that you know is totally just anti-Word of God. So if you're mature enough to be able to recognize it and get past it and hear the good they have to bring, fine. If you're not, you can end up shipwrecking your own faith. Them getting you off on something that you were sound in before. Okay, this is John 10:1. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." You're here today because you don't fit into the norm. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Just recently I heard of someone that has been a very avid Q follower, even decoding Q post. He's an Anon. And seemed very upstanding Christian father and all kinds of things. And then all of a sudden he's just flipped. Absolutely. And I remember months ago, Q posted, "Beware. There are many that have presented themselves as being on the team, but you're going to see in the next weeks, months, and months ahead that they're going to flip. They're rogue. They're plants. Tares among the wheat, if you will, to try to discredit." And they sound, man, they're saying all the right words. I mean, I haven't followed this young man, but I went on and did listen to one thing he said, and it sounded good. But then I heard about this other, and I thought, no, my list of who I listen to has gotten smaller and smaller. You have to be careful. God has a divine order in his word for us to follow to keep us walking down the middle and not falling off into the ditch. That's what happens when new things start. Those winds of doctrine. Do you know where that is? That scripture, winds of doctrine? Where? Poppy's my concordance. Ephesians? Okay. Where I was, yeah. Okay. "That we henceforth," well, I could have just kept reading. "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro." I did read it. "Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." You wonder why there's so many denominations? Everybody stopped at some point. You know, they had a revival and the Baptists stopped at just getting born again. Pentecostals stopped at getting filled with the Holy Spirit and don't go any further than that. The Word of Faith, they are in their Word of Faith, but they don't go any further than that. Because God is always causing us to press forward and to move on into the works of the kingdom of God. Now, there is one minister that he's kind of stands above the rest as far as the faith teachers. That's Bill Winston. He talks kingdom of God. That's why you think, well, I think he's not old guard. I think he's got that vision to go on in because he talks beyond. And he goes like that when he says something like, you can't get a mental, you can't comprehend this with your mind. It's by the Spirit. I like him because he's very unimpressive. He gets up there and starts reading. Then all of a sudden, people to start walking up and throwing money. Nobody doesn't take no offering. People to start back and forth. They're just piling money on the steps wherever he is. And then, man, it's just like the Holy Spirit hits him, and that little guy just, I mean, he's probably that, he's not very tall. I mean, really, he does stand above. Why? He's got a vision of the kingdom of God and where we're headed. He talks about how you can send 10 kids to Harvard without any money. It's not about money. It's about faith. If you got faith, you can move a mountain. If you've got faith, you can move beyond. You don't need money. Heaven's exchange is not money, okay? God doesn't rain down pennies from heaven or whatever. He expects us to use our faith. And if we will seek His kingdom first, use our faith, then His signs follow. Okay, let's keep going here. All right, He has a divine order for us to walk in. We can see this even with the Antifa movement, that the federal marshals are drawing the leaders out and arresting them. What happens when the leader gets taken out? The sheep scatter. We're talking about leadership. We're talking about in the body of Christ and where the Lord is taking us, getting in order. Getting in divine order. Would you like to get him a Bible? Do you have one? Okay. Well, Jackie needs one now. He's got a stack over here. Well, that's okay. Everybody needs a Bible. Okay. The point I'm making is the federal, these private citizens, probably militia, that have been federalized, that the president has sent into these cities, what they're doing is they're intimidating the leaders and drawing the leaders out and then capturing the leaders. And so what happens to the sheep? They scatter. They fall apart because they don't have anybody leading them. It's no different in the body of Christ. We're talking about the fivefold ministry gifts that God has put apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in the church to mature the saints to do the work of the ministry. And that's what we're talking about here this morning. Because a lot is coming out because we're ushering into a new age. We're ending the church age. We're coming into, I believe, the millennial age. And with that comes winds of doctrine. In other words, people saying, okay, we've been in bondage under church leaders, so we don't want any leadership at all. We see these kind of things springing up. So they don't want nobody telling them anything what to do. And they're just as bad as the other way. So there's a proper, you've got to have the leadership to do this. That's what God said. He gave gifts unto men. So we're just trying to do it right and in order. My first stint at pastoring, I had a group of mainly women that went rogue and thought they knew better than God and who God chose, and they tore up our fellowship. They had them a rogue prayer meeting, and thus saith the Lord said, blah, blah, blah. And of course, me being the way I am, I always look to myself first thinking, where have I missed it? What have I done wrong? And the Lord gave me a dream, and He said, get up out of that bed. For 2 days I laid in my bed and cried. The Lord said, get up out of that bed. He gave me a dream of a man that his church was split a couple of ways because of a group of rogue women, women with no leadership, dangerous. Feminism, what do you think of that? That's feminism. There's a proper leadership in the church. In the home, it starts in the home, then it gravitates to the church. If you've got a rogue home, you've got a rogue church. So anyway, the Lord showed me in this dream, the Lord said to me, He said, go look at this book by Brother Hagin. And I didn't ever remember reading it, but I found the book, I found the page, and this man talks about this prayer group, telling him that the Lord's saying that you don't need to be here anymore. See, God wants to do everything decently in order, but we're going to have to follow His word for it to be able to come to pass. It's, you know, I think, yeah, there's been some bad leaders. There's been some leaders that's led astray. There's no doubt. But that doesn't mean all leaders are bad. As we can see in our nation, we've got the swamp, and we've got those on the Patriots. So, all right, even Moses faced this. Let's look over to number 16. I'm telling you, here's the slaves. They've been in Egypt for 400 years or whatever it was, and they were crying for deliverance. And so the Lord sent the deliverer, and they came out of Egypt. He did miracles. The 10 plagues took out the Egyptians. They did miracles. And then we're going to see what happened. Y'all there, number 16?
Are you still in Ephesians?
Number 16. A good leader will bring out the best in you, is what I believe. Because it's there to do the work of the ministry. They're to mature the saints to do the work of the ministry, is what I'm saying. Is they encourage by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God, you will learn where your place is, and you'll get in your place, and you'll do it, and you'll have grace on you to do it. You know, you get in a church, and you see a lot of disgruntled people. Well, it's because they don't know their place, and they haven't received grace. You know, just going to a church and they just put you in a place and assign you to do something and you hate it. You know, no. We need to find out where God wants us. And then we'll be happy. It's the greatest place you'll ever be is the place of grace in your life. All right, 16. Number 16, 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi, just what I was saying earlier. Well, I've got my own concordance at home. I can study just like you. I got my own dictionary at home. I can look up them words. I don't need you to do that for me. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Back in the Old Testament, they had the tribe of Levi, and they were the ones that did the ministering. No other tribes did. And you didn't step over into that. And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? See, Aaron was a prophet, his brother, also a priest. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought unto us a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Sounds like the swamp. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer. 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went into Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder, and that was asunder was under them. The earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. So it was called strange fire to the Lord. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith that they were burnt and offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar. So the Lord was showing who was his and who were not. He drained the swamp that day, most definitely. The slaves coming out of Egypt had bad leaders over them, and they went rogue. The Lord is warning us here today that if that happens to us, you know, it shows we've been abused. That's why people are doing what they're doing, saying, well, you don't have to follow the Bible anymore in this. It's because they've been abused. They don't want anybody telling them anything to do because they've been told what to do. But there's a way to do it. See, the Word of God, when you sit and listen to the Word of God and you renew your mind with the Word of God, God does the changing, not the person that's teaching. It's God doing the changing. Lord told me, you don't have to change anybody. You just teach the Word. The Word I tell you to teach. It'll be like a diet they'll eat that'll change them. I'm going to read something. Amber's permission. She said the Lord spoke to her on the way down here. And I said, well, I'm going to use that. Renew the mind, renew the man. If you can get this renewed, it'll take care of any physical ailment you've got. It'll take care of any mental issue you've got. Any spirit, soul, body. The Word of God is designed for that. The medical system is not God's system. Like it or not, don't care. Because it's the truth. People balk at that because they're so addicted to drugs and pharmaceuticals and all of that. I know Christians that are so addicted. But as we see now, they've tried to use it as a push to take the mark. How far will you go? Too hard to hear today? But it's the truth. You know, do you want to hear the truth? You want to just hear somebody pump you full of stuff just to get you through the week? That's kind of what church is, isn't it? Well, the preacher was just dry as dust today. You know, they didn't pump me up, get me through the week. Well, that's not what it's about. It is trying to train you to go out. Like I said, this is a filling station. This is a place you come in, you hear the word, you get your mind renewed, you find out what God wants you to do, and then you go out and you do it. That's what the kingdom of God is about. That's what this is, the new time that we're entering in. There's going to be a lot of people, even though every bad person in this earth, I believe, will be taken out. Not, you know, but there'll still be some that aren't quite as bad that are going to need their minds to be renewed, because they're going to still want to act like the devil. Understand? They might not be pedophiles. They may not be the higher-ups or whatever, but there's plenty out there that are just dangerous because they're messed up. They're just messed up. All right. So where does the fivefold ministry come in? This is 2 Timothy. This is what the fivefold ministry gifts do. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:24. Well, let me just start with 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. See, our mindset is what opposes us. We may think, well, I just need more money, or I need a better job, or I need a new house, or I need a new car. No, it's your mind. We've all been MK Ultra'd to a point. I was telling KD about tell lie vision. You know, you're just listening. You're being fed a bunch of lies. In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. Your own mind is what opposes you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge and the truth, that they may recover themselves. It's not my job to recover you. It's my job to bring the word, gently instruct you. It's your part to recover yourself out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Oh, goodness. Okay. This is what I wrote down. As the Lord gives me this stuff, I have thoughts. The Lord spoke to me a while back that I was not to change anything when I went into a situation, but just start giving them the diet or the word at the moment the Lord has set out for them. The diet. He knows the diet. I don't make this stuff up. This is his words. That diet, just like it has worked for you, will work for them. He is the one doing the changing, not me or any other fivefold ministry gift. They're just simply doing what they are supposed to do. Gently instruct. Like the old prophet has said, don't look at their faces. Just bring it. God told Jeremiah to speak what he told him to speak and not to be swayed by the faces of the people he spoke to. The word of God to. This is Jeremiah 1:17. Even after we have 1,000 years of peace in the earth, there will still be uprisings of rogue agents. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan's going to rise up. And there's going to be a battle like there's never been on earth. 7 years and burying the dead. Ezekiel chapter 30, it's either 37 and 38 or 38 and 39, I'm not sure which. They'll be burying the dead. They said there'll be crews go in and bury the dead. There'll be so much carnage that they'll put a flag there so the burying crew will see the bone and bury the bone. Yeah. These will be people that have lived their whole life and never been tempted by the devil, and then Satan's going to be loose from the pit after 1,000 years, and he's going to go and deceive the nations again, like he's been doing for 6,000 years. And these people will have an opportunity to choose. It's up to them. Jesus exhorted John concerning the seven churches he would later be an apostle to. Jesus pointed out their strengths and their weaknesses to John. That is what God does. He shows the minister where his church needs help in and lays out the meal plan to help fix it. This is the spiritual food. All right. 1 Corinthians 11:1. I'm not sure what that says, but I'll look. Oh, that's what I thought it said. It says, be followers, or be follow me as I follow Christ, in other words. That's what Paul said. Follow me as I follow the Lord. He didn't say, do what I say, do, you know. Not what I do, but do what I say. All right, final warning here. Be careful who you listen to or read after. Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just recently had a situation where somebody got a hold of something, was doing great, and all of a sudden they listened to something that caused them to start doubting, and now they're ready to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I said, Lord, help them not to do that. Because there's a lot out there, and it takes a little maturity to be able to not let the stick, you know, spit out the sticks. All right. All right, leaven means to ferment, and leavening means to cause to ferment. So you don't want to ruin everything that God's shown you and what you've learned by one bad apple saying one thing that causes you to doubt. You should just back off and say, okay, Lord, what they said, speak to me about it. And He will. He'll give you a scripture to confirm it's right or that it's wrong. Okay. Just stick with the Word of God, and it will help to keep you in the middle of the road when the winds of doctrine start blowing through, and they will. This is partly what the fivefold ministry gifts do. Bringing you the Word of God so that you got to get convinced about what you believe. You can't just say, well, my preacher teaches this or whatever. You can't do that. You have to say, I believe. If somebody asks you, why do you believe what you believe? Can you give them a scripture and a verse to what you believe? Or is it just, brother so-and-so says this and sister so-and-so says that. I'll tell you what, in the last 6 years, the Lord has completely changed my way of thinking about many things. I found out what the Word really had to say over what I'd been taught, especially concerning the book of Revelation. Instead of just traditionally taught, this is what our church teaches. Well, what do you believe? Well, I don't know. How are we going to help anybody if we don't know what we even believe? You know? All right, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. With every new move of God, rogue winds of doctrine start blowing through to distort the true move of God. That was Ephesians 4:14, 15, and 16 that I just read to you. So I encourage y'all today, be careful what you listen to. There's so much on social media. And like I said, not everybody is as they appear. Okay.